Well, during this Advent season, and even starting from since last November, we've been going through a series through Matthew's chapter 24 and 25, and we've been talking about how we do look forward to Christmas because we get to celebrate how, and we remember how our God, the great and mighty God, came to this earth, and we remember how he was born in a very humble way. But we also take this time to remember how our Lord Jesus Christ not only grew up, lived a perfect life, he died for our sins, but he also rose again from the dead. And so he has promised, he has said that he will return one day. And so we also take this season to remember that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming once again. And so we've taken this time in our church for the past month or so, since November, to talk about Jesus Christ's second coming. And so we want to continue with that today. And so the title for today's message is True Faithfulness. And I want us to open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. And we'll be reading from verse 14 all the way to verse 30 today. And so if you have your Bibles, you could open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. If not, we do have it on the screen. Or you can maybe look on with a neighbor that's next to you. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. This is the reading of God's word. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. And he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the two talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What usually comes to mind when you hear the word faithful or faithfulness? Maybe for some of us, when we hear this word faithfulness, we think about marriage, about being faithful to our spouses. For some of us, when we think about this word, we think about a person maybe who is full of faith, a person who maybe is religious. Maybe for some of us, we think of a person who is dedicated to something, someone who is very faithful to their work, to their job. Now, interestingly, in today's passage, faithfulness is equivalent to the idea of diligence, kind of similar to the idea of a person who is faithful in their work, a person that is giving their all to the purpose that's been given to them, to the task that's been given to them. The good and faithful servant, interestingly here, is contrasted with the wicked and slothful servant. So good and faithful, wicked and slothful. Good versus wicked, faithful versus slothful. And the idea of faithfulness, the idea of faithfulness is about using what God has given to us and to use it diligently for his purposes. Okay, again, the idea of faithfulness is using what God has given to us and using it diligently for his purposes. True faithfulness is a continual diligence to live for God. It's a faithfulness to God and the task that he's given to us. And it's a faithfulness to the task that he's given. And so the main idea for today is be faithful to Jesus. Be faithful to Jesus as he was faithful to the Father. Be faithful to Jesus as he was faithful to the Father. And the three points that we'll be going over today are faithfulness, number one. Number two, Jesus' faithfulness. And number three, our own faithfulness. Right? So again, the main idea for today is be faithful to Jesus as he was faithful to the Father. And the three points are faithfulness, Jesus' faithfulness, and our faithfulness. So let's talk about faithfulness. Faithfulness, again, is a continual diligence in living for the Lord. It's a continual effort to live for God. Now, this is not just a Christian idea. This is something that the Bible talks about and that I believe if we just observe this world, whether you're Christian or not, this idea of faithfulness and doing being diligent with what you've been given is an idea that again, whether you're Christian or not, everyone believes is a good value. It's a good work ethic. That's what, maybe what we would call it. For example, we want to see people that are dedicated to their families. We want to see people that are dedicated to their spouses. We praise this idea. We want to see people that are dedicated to their jobs. Also, we desire to see people that are faithful in carrying out the duties, not just being a faithful parent, but what we mean by that is being a person that carries out the duties of a parent, the duties of a spouse. We want to see people that are faithful in carrying out the duties of a worker, an employee. And so this is an idea that we all praise. We want to see people that are faithful. We value faithfulness. And this idea of being faithful originally comes from God giving us this work, this purpose in our lives, that we would use everything that God has given to us and use it for his purposes. Now, we want to look at the parable that we just read. It's a long parable. But we want to look at it, and I just want to make just some quick observations about the parable. Number one, the first thing is that Jesus will come to judge. Matthew chapter 24 and 25 has been talking about how there will be an end that comes to this world. There will be an end of this world. And so we know that even when we're talking about today's parable, it has to do with how Jesus is going to return. And when he does return, there will be a final judgment. And so the first observation is that Jesus will come to judge. The second thing is that we don't know when he will come. Again, looking at the previous sections in chapter 24 and chapter 25, we're reminded that we don't know when Jesus will return. Jesus tells us that no one will know when Jesus will return. And so if anyone comes and tells you this specific date, a specific year, a specific time when Jesus is going to come, don't believe them, because Jesus has already said we won't know when he will return. Now, a third observation is that Jesus, God, gives to each person according to their ability. Now, I want to point to the passage that we've read today. In verse 14, it says, "For it will be like a man," and it's talking about the kingdom of God in the future, and when Jesus Christ, when he returns and judges the world, the kingdom of God will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability, and then he went away. And so God, he gives people each according to their ability. Now, what does that translate into in our day? What that means is that God has given to each of us different skills, different personalities, different passions, different dreams, different ways of thinking, different histories, different cultural backgrounds. God has given to us a different set of skills, a different set of natural abilities. God has given us a specific set of friends and the particular people that are in our families. God has given us all of these things that make each of us unique. And so God has given us all these resources, all these people and things that we have access to, and each of us are unique in that. And so God has given to us each very differently. And according to the parable here, for the parable's purposes, the master gives each according to their own abilities. But the point being that God has given to us these different resources and abilities and skills to each of us. Now, the next point is that with the resources and abilities and everything that God has given to us, what God calls us to is to use it, to be faithful by using these things according to his plan, according to what God desires for us, according to his purposes. And number four, those who are faithful, those who do that, will share with the master's joy. And you know, like we get a glimpse of that here on earth. When we are diligent in our work, when we are diligent in our families, in our marriages, we get a glimpse of what that joy feels like. But that joy is a limited joy. That joy will have an end. That joy will come to a time where it won't be there anymore. That joy is there not just so that we can enjoy it here on earth and that we'll just be happy with that little glimpses of joy. No, that joy is supposed to point us to the ultimate joy that we can have if we put our trust in Jesus Christ. And so we get glimpses of that joy. And what that's supposed to do, it's supposed to point us to the ultimate joy that we can experience in Jesus Christ. And so again, those who are faithful will share with the ultimate joy, the master's joy. And the last point is that, but there's this flip side. Remember, Jesus is coming, and he's going to come to judge, and he's going to judge according to what everyone has done. And Jesus will judge, and if he finds you unfaithful, if you are unfaithful with all of that God has given to you, and you're not living diligently with the finances, with your family members, with the way, if you're not living according to God's ways, with what God has purposed for you, then this tells us that those who are unfaithful, simply said, will be thrown into hell. And I just want to explain very briefly that this idea of being thrown into hell is basically the idea that, you know, if a person is unfaithful, and this is maybe one of the easiest examples to bring up, if a person is unfaithful in their marriage, it feels like hell. If a person is unfaithful as a child to their parents, if they're a rebellious child, it feels like hell. If a parent is not a good parent to their children, it feels like hell. And why is that? That's because God has told us that he is a God who is a just God. He is a God who is a loving God. He is a God who is a good God. And if we don't have God in our lives, then we don't really understand and experience what true love is, what true goodness is, what true justice is. And those are just to name a few of who our God is really all about. And hell is basically the idea where we are in a place where God does not show us his love, who he is. He does not show us his goodness. He does not show us his justice. Well, rather, he shows us his justice very clearly by showing that we are going to be judged according to what we have not done or what we have done against him. Hell is basically where God's presence is not made known, but his justice is made clear. Now, I want us to think just real quickly, what does it look like to be faithful with the things that God has given to us? Now, let's imagine together, what if the government gave you or a company that you own, what if the government gave you $1 million NT and said, we're going to put you in charge of this $1 million NT and we want you to use it for the good of the city. Now, what would you do with it? Normally, when we have this question asked to us, we think about, you know, the question normally comes in the form of, how would you use $1 million if you won it in a lottery? But that's not the question today. The question today is, what if the government granted you $1 million to use it specifically for the good of the city? What would you do? Now, some of us, we would think of different ideas, and I want us to actually think about it because to some degree, what God desires of us, the idea of being faithful to God, is to know God, to love God, to discover who he is more and more, to enjoy our God, to get to know him and understand that what God desires of us is to also share who God is with the rest of this world. And that is equivalent to the idea of working for the good of the city, working for the good of the nation, working for the good of your family, working for the good of your parents or your children, for your spouse. Because it's this idea of introducing God and his truth to the people that are around us. That's what God desires for us. And so what would you do with $1 million? Now, think of it. After some period of time has passed, the government may come back and ask, so what have you done? How have you benefited our city? And if you use that money and you tried to do your best to use it for the good of the city, then the government will be grateful. But what if you squandered the money and you used it for yourself? What if you got all that money and you said, yes, I have all this money, and you put it in a Swiss bank account? What would happen to you? You might be thrown into jail. You might be accused of not using the money well. You might even be sued to try to get that money back from you, and eventually you'll end up going to jail. That's the kind of idea that we're talking about here. God has given us abilities and skills and talents and gifts. And God desires every single human being to live their lives with the resources that God has given to him, to that person, to use all of that for his purposes, not for our own purposes. And I want us to think about our own families, how you use your money, how you use your time, how you use your vacations, how you use your job, your businesses, how you use the time as a teacher, as a worker in a factory, how you use your time in your specific workplace. And ask that question, am I being faithful to what God has called me to in this particular environment with the resources and the people and the places that God has placed me in? Am I being faithful with what God has given to me? I know that for myself, a lot of times, I find myself wanting to be faithful. I find myself wanting to do these things. And that's a great thing. I know that in a lot of us, God is working in all of us that call ourselves believers, that call ourselves people that really trust in Jesus Christ. I know that God is working in us to give us these feelings and these thoughts and these moments where we think, I do want to live for the Lord. And that's wonderful. That's God working in you. But still, I have to admit that even though I have these thoughts and I do act on these thoughts at times, but there are also moments where I don't. And I find myself unfaithful at times. It's just like that old hymn. I feel like I'm saying this all the time. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. There's this tendency that's inside of me where there are temptations that come, and there's this desire within inside of me that says, I'm really wanting to satisfy this desire my own way. And again, the Bible tells us that if we are unfaithful, if we have broken the law at just one point where we look to our own way, where we use all of these resources for our own desires, the Bible tells us that we are guilty of breaking all of the law. Let me try to explain a little bit more clearly. Why did the good and faithful servants, why were they called good and faithful? And why was the wicked and slothful servant called a wicked and slothful servant? Well, the good and faithful servants were called that because they used their resources, the money that they received from the master, they used it and they multiplied it. They did their best to live their lives according to what the master had called them to do. But what about the wicked and slothful servant? If we look at our passage today, and I want to point to this specifically, in verse 24, it said, "He also who had received the one talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid,'" he says, "I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." What was going on in this servant's heart? Well, what we know clearly from this passage is that he said he was afraid. And he was afraid because he knew what the master was going to be like. In the servant's mind, the master was a scary master. He knew that the master was just going to take things away from other people. And that's what he thought. That's what the servant thought. And so he said, because of this fear, I decided not to risk losing this one talent. I decided not to risk losing it, because at least if I hide it away, then I can at least give that back, and maybe the master won't be angry that I lost that one. Right? There's fear there, saying, what if I lose this talent, this one unit of money, and it's a lot of money actually. What if I lose it? Then the master will be angry at me. And this idea is this idea of self-preservation. He was thinking about himself. He wasn't thinking about the master and the master's plans. He was thinking about, how can I use this talent in a way so that I won't get in trouble? Now, that's the story here. But the main idea being that this last guy, he used that last talent, that one talent, and it's a lot of money. Again, it's a lot of money, but he used it for his own purposes. He used it in a way to preserve himself. It was a selfish way of thinking. And so the master called him a wicked and slothful servant. He wasn't thinking diligently, how can I use this for the master? He was thinking, how can I preserve myself? And for us, a lot of times when we use our talents, our skills, our resources, our finances, our time, we use these things maybe not for the Lord. Again, there are moments in our lives where we use it for ourselves. We use it with selfish motives. We use it to find some way to satisfy what's going on in our hearts. And again, the result that that Jesus points out here is that if you continue in this pattern, and I want to be clear, this is a warning, and this is an interesting thing about the parables here in chapters 24 and 25. It seems like what Jesus is talking about is not necessarily just talking about the unbelievers. Obviously, the unbelievers, they're not going to put their faith in the Lord. They're not going to say that I'm going to live for God's purposes. But this is a warning for all those people that call themselves believers but are not living like believers. This is a warning that's saying, look, if you don't continue on, and you can look at the parable of the 10 virgins, you could look at the last parable in chapter 24, and you could look at the last parable in chapter 25 where Jesus is talking about how he's going to come and separate the sheep and the goats. We'll talk about that next week. But it seems like Jesus is saying there are a lot of people that say they are following me, but in actuality, they're not. They're living for themselves. All of these parables, all of them, you have servants or bridesmaids or people that are calling the main person their master or their Lord. It's talking about people that acknowledge Jesus as their master, as their Lord, and yet they're not faithful. And so I know that this may put some fear in some of us, and it may put maybe it's a wake-up call for some of us. And the fact is that we are unfaithful, but here's the next point, and that is that Jesus is faithful. Jesus is faithful. Even though we were unfaithful, Jesus remains faithful to us and especially to the Father's will. You see, if we were left to ourselves, there would be no way that we would be faithful to the Lord. But that's why Jesus Christ had to come. Many, many years ago in Bethlehem, there was born in a manger, in a feeding trough of animals. Jesus was born, and where we deserve to go to hell, Jesus Christ came, and that moment happened when he came to this earth where there was hope for future. There was hope for all those that are looking to be saved. There is hope for all of us. God did not abandon us, but he wanted to share his love with those that he has called to himself. And this is what it says in Luke chapter 2. It says, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" Jesus came so that we wouldn't have to fear. He came that we wouldn't have to just be left to ourselves trying to find some way to be saved. He came that we would have peace. And Jesus Christ grew up. He lived a perfect life. And in that place, even though he was perfect, even though he was faithful and continued to diligently live out what the Father had planned for him, even though he did that perfectly, he went to the cross and died for us who were unfaithful. He died so that we would be forgiven. And so Jesus has said in John chapter 3, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." If you, even as Christians, if you turn to the Lord over and over, even if we fail, if we keep turning to the Lord and saying, "Lord, I recognize that I've fallen again, but I look to you once again," and we continue to repent and continue to look to the Lord and continue to put our faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us, Jesus Christ tells us that he is saving us and he will save us. There is hope. We can rest in this truth. Jesus Christ died and accomplished the work of forgiving our sins, and he rose again from the dead and accomplished the work of the final effect of sin. He conquered sin, and he conquered death. And so there is hope for us. There is joy for us. There is rest and peace for us. And how does that translate into our own faithfulness? This is the third point. How does that translate into our own faithfulness? Well, Jesus has told us that he will continually work in our lives. Those of us that have put our trust in Jesus Christ, those of us that have put our hope in Jesus Christ, Jesus has said that he will send his Holy Spirit and will continue to work in our lives that we would be faithful. He would not leave us to ourselves to try to be faithful and be fearful whether or not we are able to be faithful to God or not. He does not leave us to ourselves. He sends us the Holy Spirit to continue to work in our lives. And he's the one that also gives us the faith that we have. Jesus is the one that gives us the faith to even want to begin to believe and trust in Jesus, to want to repent and turn back to Jesus. Jesus is constantly working in our lives that call ourselves Christian, or for those of us that are here wanting to learn more about Jesus and thinking, could I possibly be Christian one day? I believe that you're seated here today or you're listening online because God is perhaps working in your life, drawing you to him. God is constantly working. Jesus has said he is working, and he has said himself that he is the author and he is the perfecter of our faith. Let me read for you Hebrews chapter 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. So this is the idea of, let's be diligent. Let's fight against sin. Let's live for the Lord's purposes. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Because Jesus was good and faithful. Because Jesus was the faithful servant, where we were unfaithful, where we were like that third servant, where we were unfaithful, because Jesus was not like that last servant, where he was faithful. Because he was faithful, Jesus continues to work in our lives today to cause us to be faithful. It says in Philippians chapter 1, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. At the day that our Lord Jesus Christ returns, Jesus will continue to work in our lives through the Holy Spirit and will accomplish the work that he started in us. And so because Jesus is working in us, you know what we can do now? We don't have to identify ourselves with the last servant as the wicked and slothful servant. Because Jesus was good and faithful, Jesus is working in us so that one day when we face Jesus, he will say, good and faithful servant, I have done the work in you and through you. Good and faithful servant, welcome and enjoy with me the Master's joy. What's something practical that we can do? It's simply this. Through the sermons, through the Bible studies, through your own reading of the Bible, through times of prayer, through interactions with other brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, there will be moments in your life where you feel, I want to believe. There will be moments in your life where you feel, I want to do this good work. I want to use my money to bless the church, or I want to use this money to bless the poor on the streets. I want to use my time to get to know my coworker. I want to be able to tell him about Jesus Christ. I want to pray for my family members. There will be moments where God is prompting us. Again, it's going to be through the sermons. It's going to be through the Bible study. It's going to be through our own reading of the word. It's going to be through our times of prayer where these thoughts come to our mind. And those thoughts is God working in our lives, telling us, look, I am working in your life, and I want you to continue to work and continue to use all of the resources that I've given to you for my purposes. When you get that prompting, when you get that sense, that thought, that feeling, when you get it, obey it. Follow through. And there's always going to be a temptation to say, oh, but I don't know, I'm scared. Oh, I don't know, I'm just too shy. Or I don't know, what about my future? What about my finances? I don't know. And that's where the temptation comes. But if you have that thought, I want to do good, then overcome those temptations and follow through. Here's the second thing. We remember our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're celebrating today that he has done wonderful things, and he continues to do wonderful things in our lives. And so the second thing is this: be glad. Be thankful and joyful. Be glad. And be relieved. You don't have to fear the final judgment. Find rest. Believe that if you are a believer in Jesus, that Jesus is working things out in your life. And let your heart rest. And be thankful and glad that God is working in you, that Jesus is continually working in you. Let's pray together. Whatever the Lord is placing on your heart right now, I want to ask you guys to pray. I will close in prayer, but take this time to pray. And whatever God is placing on your heart, it might be, Lord, I want to believe in you for the first time, that you have done everything and you will continue to work out everything in my life. Maybe your prayer is, Lord, you've told me and you've prompted me. You've told me to go and do this thing, and I've been unfaithful. I've given into my temptation. Lord, give me the faith to follow through with that. And maybe for some of us, the prayer is, Lord, I really do want to live for you. Show me what that looks like. Tell me how I can live for you. Whatever your prayer is, throughout the time that I pray, and as we continue in the next song, I want to ask you to just continue to pray. All right? Lord, I thank you so much for this wonderful truth that you've given to us, that even though we were unfaithful, you remain faithful to us. And because you were faithful to us, now you call us faithful and good, and we are able to live our lives out for you, for your purposes, for your glory. I pray, dear Lord, that you would continue to work in a powerful way in all of us here, that as we go into, as we celebrate Christmas, and as we finish out this year, 2020, and as we look forward to 2021, Lord, would you continue to work in our hearts, that we would continue to grow and be faithful for your glory as you work it out in us. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Take this time to continue to pray and sing along with us.